All-time top 10 with Ryan and Ben.
Oh, God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where you want this killing done? God said, hold on Highway 61. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. He asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I got to run. Oh, Howard just pointed with his gun and said, that way down Highway 61. Well, Mac the Finger said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. She says it's much too white. He said, come here and step into the light. He says, you're right. Let me tell the second mother this has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. He was very bored, trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it on Highway 61.
Welcome. Welcome to episode 15 of All Time Top 10 with Ryan and Ben. I am Ben Eisen, right there. It's Ryan Blake.
That's me.
Yes. And we have a special guest with us today.
DJ Bennett.
That's right. DJ Bennett from
The Chill Room here on killradio.org.
Yes. Friday nights from.
Man, you're really good about mentioning the killradio.org part.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
We're radio the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
I like that. Well, yeah, we're new here, so we have to remind ourselves to mention the Kill Radio part a lot. We don't do it enough. I do apologize to my.
Well, I'm like really happy. Robert Eakins, who does the Send Diddy show on Saturday night, he's in this habit of constantly referring to killradio.org, and I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's why Kill is here.
Right.
Yeah. No, we do appreciate Kill Radio, and we're very happy to be here. And we're very excited about today's list. Today, we are going to talk about the greatest American poet of all time? How would you describe Mr. Bob Dylan?
I think he's the greatest singer, greatest white singer of the last 50 years.
The greatest white singer of the last 50 years.
I think he is the greatest songwriter of the second half of the 20th century.
I could see that, yeah. I'm with you there.
I think he's just as important a beat poet as Allen Ginsberg, William Burroughs, or Jack Kerouac.
Yes, he's one of those.
Yes.
I think he belongs
in
the
in there.
In the pantheon. Yes, we're talking about Bob Dylan. of course. And that is the subject of today's episode. We're going to go full on Bob Dylan. All three of us have our top 10 lists. And I'm
curious to know, you know, the notes that we have compared to, you know, the extra information that Bennett will provide for each of our picks.
Can I run down a couple quick things?
Please.
Dylan's recording his 35th studio album right now. There's no sock on this.
Yeah.
His 35th studio album right now.
Yes.
He's written over 600 songs.
Yes.
Between 1958 and 1973, there were the first 300. Between 1974 and 2006, the second 300, which is a much longer period.
Yeah.
Okay. He's recorded approximately 735 songs.
That's insane.
Yeah, on his albums. And, of course, it's over 600 now because he has recorded since 2006. So.
Was it Modern Times was the last album? Was that 2008?
No, 2009 for Together Through Life was the most recent album.
That's right. Yeah. Just insanely prolific. Just unbelievable. And so much quality stuff. I mean, you said you sent me an email. You said that how many songs? You narrowed it down to 100?
I started with 100.
Yeah.
And then worked it down, but I still missed songs out of the 100.
Oh, yeah.
So what I did was I listed first out that 100 songs, then I listed periods of his career to see if I could just pick one song per period. That didn't work.
then just too many.
Then I tried to pick the top 10 albums. That didn't really work.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. Bob Dylan has produced a lot of shit too. Okay.
I'm glad you acknowledged that.
In the 80s, he had a series of albums, Knocked Out, Loaded, Down in the Groove, and Dylan and the Dead, that are the absolute nadir of his career, except for Christmas in the Heart 2 years ago.
Hey, some people swear by that. You know, Santa Claus. What's the song?
Here Comes Santa Claus.
Here Comes Santa Claus.
The thing that's great about Dylan, like any great performer, is that he's made so much work that even if you don't like him, there's something you like by him.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Ryan, you're just the huge fan of the early stuff, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm a big fan of the early stuff, and I'll be introduced to a lot today, I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with the 1965-66 period.
Oh, so am I.
To me, that is the greatest period of
the whole trilogy
of
albums.
Music, yeah.
Yeah, that's me too.
But I also appreciate the entire career. If you look online on the Kill Radio page, you'll find I did a show on Dylan's Christian songs a few months back. Okay.
Hmm.
And I have also done shows on his basement period.
Okay.
More than one. also, in May of 2011, I did a show on, Dylan turned 70, so I did a 50-year sort of anniversary. I've tried to stay away from the songs that I played in that show today, for instance.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll get to all of them, and this is exciting. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
If that's all right.
You are?
Yeah.
I thought Ryan was going first.
Isn't that what you told me?
Oh my God, I went first last week. I'm so sorry.
My gosh, Ben, already trying to steal away from me.
I'm a horrible person. Ryan Blake, what do you got? What would you like to play
All right,
first?
Well, my number 10, I'm playing The Times They Are Changing.
There you go.
Good.
From January 64, from the album of the very same title.
Yes.
And what I read about this, it was a purposeful protest song.
Right. Yeah, he had written a bunch of them in that period. It was all just, you know, there's really no subtlety to it. It was just full on, you know, shouting down from the mountaintops. Just,
and there was so much stuff happening then, civil rights happening, and the folk movement was all kind of happening at the same time, and almost kind of went together a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's a great one to start it off too. I like that's just a perfect starting point.
I couldn't. Yeah, I agree totally. The important thing about Times They Are Changing is that it solidified his role as a protest poet, but also as a prophet.
Yes.
Very much, very important.
Yeah.
And it made him the number one songwriter in the folk scene at the time.
Yeah.
Wow. It's really got the ball rolling for him. This is the one, right? I mean, there's...
Well, Born in the Wind put him on the map.
Okay. Right. But this,
Well, let's hear it. My number 10, The Times Are Changing.
Nice. Let's check it out.
Number 10.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. From senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, that is Ryan Blake's number 10.
That's my number 10.
Times they are changing. Good stuff. Nice way to start things off. Bennett, you are up. What is your number 10?
Well, what I did was I can't. There are just too many songs for me to just pick 10 and say that's it. So yeah, what I did was I went through many lists. I created many lists and sublists. And then I kind of decided on 10 songs that I love that are very representative of Dylan. Okay. So my number 10 is a Basement Tape song.
Oh, I love the Basement Tapes.
And it's the title song of the movie, I'm Not There. Now, the thing about the song, I'm Not There, is that it was an unfinished song. Dylan had some skeletal lyrics, and with the band playing there. See, the thing about the Basement Tapes is this period where he had no pressure to record.
Yeah, he was in the hanging out in Big Pink, right?
Yeah, it was considered a period of amnesia because in July of 1966 he broke his neck in a motorcycle accident,
right?
And then he withdrew. But in this year of 1967, he wrote more good songs than any other year of his career.
Wow,
there are so many good songs in this period.
And a lot of them came out on the Basement Tapes. Did they come out on the next album, too? Was it John Wesley Harding?
A couple of them popped up on Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits Volume 2. But what it basically happened was an acetate called the Basement Tape, Basement Tape was circulated around, and people to hear the new Bob Dylan songs. Now, he owed Columbia 14 tracks at that time, and so this acetate sort of fulfilled a contractual obligation for him. He did not consider this to be releasable material. That's the maddest thing about the basement tape, period, is that he thought it was just a lark. As he said, this was the way to record, you know, just people sitting around and playing and a dog sleeping on the floor. And that was the way to do it.
Yeah.
But I pretty much, Dylan, when he broke his neck, he didn't go into this period of amnesia yet. Instead, there was still this incredible power of creativity inside him.
Yeah, well, he was just coming off of like what many consider his greatest album, Blonde on Blonde.
And a great period where he was doing a lot of speed and a lot of heroin.
I did not know that.
Okay,
wow.
He was deeply involved in drugs on that world tour. That hadn't stopped after the motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
That didn't stop until after John Wesley Harding. So... It's too many stories to tell about the basement tapes.
This
particular song, he never finished. And so he totally rejected this song. He's not even got words. And yet, somehow, there is this incredible feel in this music that is unlike anything else he ever recorded. So this is one of his greatest things ever. I'm Not There.
This is I'm Not There. And it's number 10.
Yeah. life you see, but it's not. She's alone, finding beauty, but she's gone. Like the spot, and she gone. Yeah, she's gone, like the rainbow that shining yesterday. But now she's home beside me, and I'd like to hear to stay. She's a though. I believe it in my mind. I've been told, like I said when I before, carry on the grind. It is on, but they told her, like I said, carry on. I wish I was there to help her, but I'm not there. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Good track.
Wow, I'm not there from the Basement Tapes. That is,
it's the Basement Tape.
Basement Tape. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, yeah, just for the record, the
sorry about that.
The album that was released as the Basement Tapes in 1975.
That's the one.
That's
that...
not the Basement Tapes.
Oh, see, that's the one I've got.
I understand, and yeah. That's what you would have.
Yeah.
But that has added drums.
Yeah.
And Robbie picked some of the wrong versions.
Oh, really?
To me, it's a travesty. And plus, the band tracks, none of the band tracks come from the Basement.
Oh.
Zero. Some of them were recorded the year before in New York City for the album.
I did not know that.
I mean, it's fake. It's a fake album. It makes me mad at Robbie Robertson.
I still like some of the songs on there.
Oh, the songs are great, but yeah. I have better versions of them.
That's funny. Anyway, moving on. My number 10. We were just talking about this song, and this is from 1966. This is from Blonde on Blonde. This is Visions of Johanna.
Ooh.
Yeah. You were just, Bennett, you were just telling us that you did an entire show doing nothing but this song, different versions of this song.
Every version that he recorded up that we have.
Yeah.
And then three from the 1966 tour of him doing it solo.
Right.
And then one from 1999 and one from 2009.
Wow.
That was less than 3 weeks before I did the show.
Wow.
It was that current.
Yeah, really? Wow. Yeah. Well, I haven't heard any of those, but I do love the version on Blonde on Blonde. Blonde on Blonde, I think, is probably his greatest work.
I have met people who don't like it.
What?
Yeah.
What do they like?
They prefer other albums.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just...
I've met people who say, I can't stand to hear Bob Dylan sing, so.
Yeah. I know plenty of people that, yeah, I've heard people like that, too, but, you know. That's okay. No, it's not for everyone, but they're missing out, I think. And this album especially, I mean, it's just a perfect little mix of country, rock, and folk, and blues, and just, you know. Was it one of the first double albums? I believe it is.
That and Freak Out by the Mothers came out at the exact same time.
Okay. The first double albums. Yeah, amazing.
I think Freak Out actually predated Blonde on Blonde like a week.
Well, he had the idea to do it. I'm sure he wasn't riding any Frank Zappa's coattails. But, yeah, this is... it's just such amazing poetry in this song.
Well, what's the song about? What's Visions of Johanna about?
I have no idea. I know that there's... Someone told me that there's like a painting that he was looking at that had a whole bunch of surreal images, and he kind of based some of the lyrics off of that. Like... the harmonicas play the skeleton keys in the rain or something. Jewels and binoculars hang from the head of the mule. You know,
if you look at the cover of the Get Your Ya-Ya's Out by the Rolling Stones, there are jewels and binoculars hanging from a mule on the cover.
There you go. Well, there's so much crazy imagery going on here, and I don't know. I just prefer, like he says in the song, he says, the country music plays soft, but there's really nothing to turn off.
There's nothing to turn off.
Yeah. So it's like, just enjoy it. Just kick back and let the music and the lyrics wash over you. That's what I feel like when I hear this song, you know? So I'm going to play it. This is my number 10. This is Visions of Johanna.
Number 10.
Ain't it just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet? We'll sit here stranded, but we're all doing our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it. Lights flicker from the opposite loft. In this room, the heat pipes just cough. The country music station plays soft, but there's nothing, really nothing to turn off. Just Louise and her lover, so entwined. And these visions of Johanna that conquer my mind. In the empty lot where the ladies play, blind man's bluff with the keychain. All night girls, the whisper of escapades out on the D train. We can hear the night watchman click his flashlight, ask himself if it's him or them, it's insane. Louise, she's alright, she's just near. She's delicate and seems like the mirror, but she just makes it all too concise and too clear that Johanna's not here. The ghost of electricity howls in the bones of her face, where these visions of Johanna have not taken my place. Our little boy lost, he takes himself so seriously. He breaks of his misery, he likes to live dangerously. And when bringing her name up, he speaks of a farewell kiss to me. Sure got a lot of gall to be so useless and all, muttering small talk at the wall while I'm in the hall. Oh, how can I explain? It's so hard to get on. And these visions of Johanna, they'd kept me up past the dawn. Inside the museums, infinity goes up on trial.
voices echo, this is what salvation must be like after a while. But Mona Lisa must have had the highway blues, you can tell by the way she smiles. See the primitive wallflower freeze when the jelly-faced women all sneeze. Hear the one with the mustache say, geez, I can't find my knees. Oh, jewels and binoculars hang from the head of the mule. But these visions of Johanna, they make it all seem so cruel. The peddler now speaks to the countess who's pretending to care for him, saying, name me someone that's not a parasite and I'll go out and say a prayer for him. But like Louise always says, you can't look at much, can you, man, if she herself prepares for him. And Madonna, she still has not showed. We see this empty cage now corrode, where her cape of the stage once it flowed. The fiddler, he now steps to the road. He writes, everything's been returned which was old, on the back of the fish truck that loads while my conscience explodes. The harmonicas play the skeleton keys and the ray, and these visions of Johanna are now all that remain.
She's delicate. She seems like a mirror.
You know, Mona Lisa must have had the highway blues. You could tell by the way she smiled. Good stuff. That's my number 10. That is Visions of Johanna from Blonde on Blonde, 1966. Ryan Blake.
One of Dylan's greatest songwriting achievements, by the way.
Yeah, and I've heard that he himself admits that, even though he doesn't know what it's about. Well, I mean,
it was. I think he was aware he was doing something. He worked on that song very hard.
Yeah.
And it took him a long time to record it, which meant that he wasn't happy with the early versions because he hadn't gotten it right.
Yeah.
It wasn't until he got to Nashville. That was actually recorded on Valentine's Day, 1966.
Wow. Thanks. Thanks for setting me straight on that. I had no idea. Ryan Blake, you're up. What's your number 9?
Well, my number 9, I chose Corrina, Corrina.
Ooh.
And I really like this one just because it's like a real nice, easy breezy song.
Yeah.
Really mellow.
Yeah.
It's from which album? I didn't write down which album.
Freewheeling.
Okay.
Freewheeling Bob Dylan.
But it's I guess it's just a American standard folk song that's been around for a long, long time.
There'd actually been a hit single before he even recorded
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, who was it? Pete Seeger?
I forget who, but I have it on an old compilation from the 50s.
But it says here that Dylan's version is not the original Corrina Corrina musically, but he used some of the words from it. But it's actually a song called "Stone to My Passway" by Robert Johnson, which is the music that he used. But then he used the words from Corrina Corrina.
Wow. Okay.
Although he added the words, "I got a bird that whistles." I got a bird that sings. That's from the Robert Johnson song.
Yep, it is. Yeah, Stones in My Pathway.
Yeah, so
cool.
Let's hear this. This is Corrina Corrina.
Ryan Blake's number 9.
Number 9.
Carina, Carina, get where you've been so long. Carina, Carina, get where you've been so long. I've been worried about you, baby. Baby, please come home. I got a bird that whistles. I got a bird that sings. I got a bird that whistles. I got a bird that sings. But I ain't got Carina. Life don't mean a thing. Carina, Carina, girl, you're on my mind. Carina, Carina, girl, you're on my mind. I'm sitting down thinking of you. I just can't keep from crying.
It's the best.
Puts you in a good mood.
You know how much Bennett likes that song? He was going to be one of his top 10.
Right.
We have our first steal of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But well, actually, I was putting it between that and an alternate. So it's probably more of an alternate that I had ready to go.
Okay.
But I'm actually so really pleased that you played that. That is so cool because you know history. Oh, yeah. It makes me feel so good.
That's Ryan Blake's number 9. Benda, you're up next.
My number 9 is one of Bob Dylan's most famous songs of all time.
Okay.
He started writing it in early 1964. In fact, the guy who was playing the slide guitar on Carina Carina there, Bruce Langhorn, had this gigantic tambourine. It was like the size of a wheel. and he would play it a lot, and as well as being a guitar player. Bruce is still around. He lives here in L.A. And Dylan had this. He was reading Rambo, the poet Rambo.
Yeah.
And in February of 1964, he took a trip around the country while he was performing. But he rode in a station wagon with some friends, and they went to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. So he saw a lot of things at Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And this song began to coalesce in his head. And it's a song about song, okay? About skipping reels of rhyme. It's Mr. Tambourine Man, of course.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's a song that it took a while for him to do it.
Yeah.
He wrote it. Another important thing to know about this song is that about 2 to 3 weeks after he finished it was the first time he ever took LSD.
I was going to say, the lyrics to this song, like if you follow the chronology of his work, it's really one of the first real surreal songs that he did.
Well, I have another one that I'm going to play later.
It came before this?
Before it, yeah. Around the same time.
Like, you know, another side of Bob Dylan came out, and there was nothing really surreal on that. It was more personal, but it wasn't really surreal.
you know. Oh, yeah, there's surrealism all over on another side of Bob Dylan. But he did try to record Mr. Tambourine Man for that album.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. He did it with Ramblin' Jack Elliott. He did it as a duet with Ramblin' Jack. But he decided it wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. But it was that version with him and Jack Elliott singing the song that was given to Roger McGuinn, or Jim McGuinn. And it became The Birds, which is the only Bob Dylan song that ever got to number one. Mr. Tambourine Man.
Is that right?
And a real interesting thing is that they sing, the, you know, but they use the word ain't in their version, and he uses the word isn't.
Hmm.
And that's because he used the word ain't in that version with Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
Okay.
But what I'm going to play is not the album version.
Oh.
I'm going to play the very first time he ever performed this song in front of an audience.
Oh,
cool.
This was at the London Festival Hall on May 17th, 1964.
Wow. This is the height of Beatlemania happening, right?
As a matter of fact, he had a song that answered She Loves You called It Ain't Me, Babe. Yeah. No, no, no.
Right.
To their Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he, and a writer actually noted that. In a reviewer in London actually noted that. He sang It Ain't Me, Babe, and said, that's obviously an answer to She Loves You. But in the same show, he premiered this song. And so this is the very first time these words have ever been performed in front of an audience.
Wow.
And he goes from isn't or ain't to isn't during the show, during the song. So he's still finding the song. But imagine you've never in your life heard this song before, and suddenly this man is performing.
That's amazing. Let's hear it. This is Mr. Tambourine Man live. Where was it live at?
The London Festival Hall, May 17th, 1964.
Great.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there ain't no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Though I know that evening's empire has returned into sand, vanished from my hand, left me blindly here to stand, but still not sleeping. My weariness amazes me. I am branded on my feet. I have no one to meet, and the ancient empty streets too dead for dreaming. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Take me on a trip upon your magic swirling ship. My senses have been stripped. My hands can't feel to grip. My toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boot heels to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade unto my own parade. Cast your dance and spell my way. I promise to go under it. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Though you might hear laughing
spinning, swinging madly through the sun. It ain't aimed for anyone, it's just escaping on the run. And but for the sky, there are no fences facing. And if you hear vague traces of skipping reels of rhyme to your tambourine in time, it's just a ragged clown behind. I wouldn't pay it any mind. It's just the shadow you're seeing that he's chasing. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind, down the foggy ruins of time, far past the hidden leaves, the haunted, frightened trees, out to the windy beach, far from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. Yes, to dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, driving memory and fate deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following.
That is amazing.
Yeah, Mr. really Cameron. Cool to hear that in at that age of the song.
Yeah, you know, it's like not even born yet. It's like it's in its infancy.
He's still finding it as he's doing it.
Yeah.
The version that we all know and love from the Bringing It All Back Home album, he recorded. Yes. He said, I'm only going to do this once, so don't mess this up. And he came in and sang three songs in a row, and they were as straight as they went onto the album.
Wow.
Friday night on the Chill Room, my Kill Radio show, I played the Sheffield, UK concert, in which I think he does what I consider to be the best of all the versions of Mr. Tambourine Man.
Hmm.
But I wasn't going to play that today because it's just too long.
How long was that one?
It's 10 minutes.
Yeah. There's three top 10 lists here, so we had a move along at a little bit of a pace.
Which I will say that for me, I don't know about you guys, but for me, that meant that I left out Sad Eyed Lady and Desolation Row.
For me,
right. And Highlands, those three.
Yeah, for me, Desolation Row would have made my list, I mm-hmm. think. But
what's your number nine?
Let's move to my number nine. We're gonna move up to 1975, and I think you know what album we're gonna be playing a song from, "Blood on the Tracks." And what can you say about "Blood on the Tracks"? I mean, it's kind of considered his comeback record.
There's some thought, and I can agree with it that it might really be his greatest single album.
Yeah,
many people think that.
I've heard that. I could see that, definitely. It's his most personal record, I believe.
But even he was saying later that people think they know me because they listen to my songs, and that's not me.
Yeah, well, he can say that, but I mean, there's a lot of, you know, autobiographical, confessional stuff on this record.
Well, what it is that he worked with this guy named Norman Rabin, who was an art teacher in New York City, and he did classes with this guy for several months in 1974, and he learned a lot about what art was, and that changed the way he thought about his songwriting. And so he applied his lessons from this class to the album Blonde on Blonde, or I'm sorry, Blonde on the Tracks. Sorry. and Blonde on the Tracks, therefore, is filtered through a different consciousness than earlier albums.
It does have a different feel to it, for sure. The stories that he tells, I mean, they're so vivid. It's hard to believe that he didn't live some of that. I want to play Tangled Up in Blue. And I just love some of these lyrics. With someone, we drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west, split it up on a dark, sad night.
Both agreeing it was best.
Like he's really, you know, he's digging into the story of his relationship with, is it Sarah Lowndes, his ex-wife?
That was his wife. But you can listen to this song in more than one way. For one thing, it could be that there's the you in the first verse and the last verse might be the same person. But the other verses, I think the you is a different girl. It's not the same woman. I think he's actually talking about a bunch of different yous during this. That's what I mean. This is the way his consciousness changed from this art class. He's looking through it as a prism to color the way he looks at the world. And so he's... You know, that's what Tangled Up in Blue means. He's not trying to tell one story. He's telling a lot of stories through this filter. And so, I don't think that it's just about one woman, for instance. No.
Okay. Well, I mean, no one really knows. I don't even think he knows all of it. You know,
well, there's so many different versions of Tangled Up in Blue, too. There's the version that's in the movie Rinaldo and Clara. There's the version that's on the Real Live album. They have completely different lyrics.
Is that right?
The version that he was doing in 78, just before he went Christian, when suddenly the book that's opened is the Bible, not some Italian poet from the 13th century. Now it's the Bible.
Wow.
You know, he changed it all the time. You know, he's a jazz musician that way.
Yeah. Wow. A jazz lyricist. Let's check out my number 9. This is Tangled Up in Blue from 1975, Blood on the Tracks.
Number 9.
Early one morning the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues, getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west. Split up on the docks at night, both agreeing it was best. She turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Job in the great north woods, working as a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I lucky with a be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat.
she never escaped my mind, and I just grew tangled up in blue. She was working in a topless place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face in the spotlight so clear. Later on, when the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair. I said, Timmy, don't I know your name? I murdered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines of my face. I must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Trying to love in blue. Pray. I thought you'd never say hello, she said, you look like a silent type. And she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. And every one of them words rang true and glowed like burning coal, pouring off of every page like it was written in my soul. From me to you. Street, a basement down the stairs. That was music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. Then he started into dealing with slaves and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it finally the bottom fell out, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was to keep on keeping on like a bird that flew. To get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are carpenters' wives. Don't know how it all got started. I don't know what they do with their lives. But me, I'm still on the road, heading for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point of view.
Tangled Up in Blue.
Wonderful. What a great song. That's my number nine. Top. My number nine Bob Dylan song.
I will say that when, just as perspective, in the fall of 1974, I did a show on WCBU radio in Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, called Down in the Flood. It was an all Bob Dylan show. Every Sunday night at 11 o'clock. Wow. The final show that I did, we premiered Blood on the Tracks.
Wow. Huh. Oh, my God. What did you think at the time? Were you blown away?
A first take? I was utterly blown away. I copied down the lyrics to Shelter from the Storm, and I read them to a friend as though I had written them. And he got, whoa, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
It wasn't me, dude. It wasn't me. Hold on. Wow. Great record. I hope we hear some more from that record later today. But Ryan Blake, you're up next.
All right. Well, my number eight... Bennett, you asked me what my first experience with Dylan was, and I'd mentioned it was my brother had the bootleg series that came out in, I think, 91, you mentioned?
There's been a bunch of them. Is,
yeah, about but this is the first one.
The first one was a three-disc set, came out in 91.
Yeah. And this is Talking Bear Mountain Massacre Blues.
Wow. Fabulous.
And and this song, it totally just caught me when I first heard it. I thought it was so funny. But then,
hysterical.
So I'm reading up about it, and in June 19th, 1961, Noel Stuckey, who became Paul of Peter, Paul, and Mary, shared a gaslight, or sitting in the gaslight, shared a story from the New York Herald Tribune about this cruise. Yeah. It was a Father's Day cruise that went awry due to counterfeit ticketing and overcrowding. And he read it to the then 20-year-old Bob Dylan, who thought the story was great and showed up the next day with a song about it. And they were just astounded by the fact that he was able to pull that off in a day. But some of my
20 years old, too. Jeez.
Yeah. And he says that line, like, feeling like I just fell out of my casket. I grabbed back hold of my picnic basket. And just the rhymes that he pulled off are just great.
Yeah, this is actually on our top 10 feel-good songs.
Yeah, it was.
Ryan played for, it was on his list then, and he reasoned it should be a feel-good song because nobody actually died.
Right.
It was a massacre, but no one actually died, so
yeah.
You should feel good about it. You know?
So let's hear. This is my number 8, Talking Bear Mountain Picnic Massacre Blues.
Number 8.
Well, I saw it advertised one day that the Bear Mountain Picnic was coming my way. Come along and take a trip. We'll bring you up there on a ship. Bring the wife and family. Bring the whole kids. Yippee. Well, I run right down and bought a ticket to this thing called the Bear Mountain Picnic. Little did I realize I was in for a pleasant, funny surprise. It had nothing to do with picnic. Didn't come close to a mountain. I hate bears. Took the wife and kids down to the pier. There were 6,000 people there. Everybody had a ticket for the trip. Oh, well, I said, it's a pretty big ship. Besides, anyhow, the more the merrier. Well, we all got on, and what do you think? That big old boat started to sink. More people kept piling on. That old ship was a-going down. Funny way to start a picnic. Well, I soon lost track of my kids and wife. So many people I never saw in my life. That old ship was sinking down in the water. There were 6,000 people trying to kill each other. Dogs are barking, cats are screaming, women are yelling, men are flying, fists are flying, paper flying, cops are coming, me running. Hey, we just better call off the picnic. I got shoved down, got pushed around. All I remember was a moaning sound. Don't remember one thing more. All I remember is waking up on the shore. My arms and legs were broken. My feet were splintered. My head was cracked. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk, smell, feel. Couldn't see. I didn't know where I was. I was bald. Quite lucky to be alive, though. Well, feeling like I just climbed out of my casket, I grabbed back hold of my picnic basket. Took the wife and kids and started home, wishing I never got up that morning. Now, I don't care just what you do. If you want to have a picnic, that's up to you. But don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear it. You see, I just lost all my picnic spirit. Stay in my kitchen. Have a picnic in my bathroom. Well, it don't seem to me quite so funny what some people are gonna do for money. There's a brand new gimmick every day just to take somebody's money away. I think we ought to take some of these people put them on a boat, send them up to Bear Mountain for a picnic. Oh my God, is that funny?
Fabulous. Funny. Just fabulous.
Good stuff. That's Ryan Blake's number 8.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Bennett, you're up next.
Well, my number 8 is a song from the period after Christianity. Dylan had a, after his, he was hardcore Christian in 79 and 80.
Yes.
And then he began to segue out of that. I actually saw him in the summer of 81 in Chicago, and he was still essentially doing a gospel show, but he had reintroduced old songs into it. So, you know, he would open with Gotta Serve Somebody, but the third song was Rolling Stone.
Okay.
So he was still doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there, he began to hear something new, and he began to write songs that held on to traditional Christian imagery, but began to put some of that Rambodian stuff back into it. So I picked Joker Man.
I don't know this song.
Joker Man. However, the version that's on the Infidels album, yes, as good as it is not the really good one. So I'm going to play a bootleg version of Joker Man that was recorded in 1981. And it's got slightly different lyrics. It's an utterly beautiful song. It's the refrain, Joker Man by the Light of the Moon. This is a Christian song because he's describing Christ, but he's describing him as a Joker Man. So he's using symbolic imagery, but there's so many different, I don't know, at this point, the words are coming so fast and furious. There's so many words going on. So let's just
yeah,
go with it.
I'm curious. I've never heard
Joker
this one.
Man.
This is Joker Man.
Standing on the water, casting your bread, while the eyes of the idol with the iron head are glowing. Distant ship sailing into the mist. You were born with a snake in both of your fists while a hurricane was blowing. Freedom. Just around the corner for you. But with truth so far off, what good will it do? Joker Man danced to the nightingale tune. Bird fly high by the light of the moon. Oh, 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 Joker Man. So swiftly the sun sets in the sky. Say goodbye to no one. No snowball church for you on your back. One of the women must sit in the shack and sew one. Shedding off one more layer of skin. Keeping one step ahead of the persecutor within. Joker Man dance to the nightingale tune. Bird fly high by the light of the moon. Oh, 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 Joker Man. You're a man of the mountains. You can walk on the clouds. Manipulator of crowds. You're a dream twister. You're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. But whether you care, scratching the world with a fine-tooth comb. You're a king among nations. You're a stranger at home. Joker Man danced to the nightingale tune. Bird fly high by the light of the moon. Look,
crystal ball do you need on your shelf? Michelangelo himself could have carved out your features. So drunk, standing in the middle of the street, directing traffic with a small dog at your feet. Joker man danced to the Nightingale tune.
Joker Man.
Very Joker nice. Man. That's good stuff. I never heard that.
Yeah.
I have to look into that. It's from Infidels, right?
Yes. Well, not that version.
Right.